welcome to this month's Life Notes, which move you one book closer to living 12 category smart. This is Jessie Kohlhagen, and you're listening to the Life Note, Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind, by Shunru Suzuki and summarized by Marcia Joseph. As always, we'll begin with a quote. In the beginner's mind, there are many possibilities, but in the expert's, there are few. Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind by Shunru Suzuki is an inspirational and instructional guide to Zen meditation and practice. Considered by many to be a spiritual classic, it's an excellent resource not just for Zen meditation, but also as a way of life. This book was derived from Suzuki's teachings and is segmented into three parts: right practice, right attitude, and right understanding. You'll gain insights on how to practice and will also be exposed to a deeper look at Zen philosophy. Shunru Suzuki was a pioneer in bringing Zen to America. He came from Japan and founded the San Francisco Zen Center and the Tassajara Zen Mountain Center, the first Zen monastery in America. In this Life Note, we'll explore aspects of the practice itself, such as keeping a beginner's mind and sitting with the right posture. We'll also consider concepts such as keeping a big mind, accepting that life is transient and ever-changing, focusing on effort, not enlightenment, and finally the concept of non-attachment. Let's get started. The first big thought, beginner's mind. An empty mind is ready for anything. Quote, if your mind is empty, it is always ready for anything. It is open to everything. End quote. One of the most challenging aspects of meditation is simply to keep your mind open and empty, to be present without having your mind wandering all over the place. Whether you're new to meditation or have been practicing it for some time, you likely have also faced this challenge. Suzuki calls the open and empty mind a beginner's mind and teaches us that the beginner's mind is boundless. It is without limitations and full of possibilities. It's difficult to keep this beginner's mind because we often fill it up with self-centered thoughts or ideas of how something should be, including our own distorted views of reality. According to Suzuki, quote, in the beginner's mind, there is no thought, I have attained something, end quote. These type of self-centered thoughts are very limiting. When you keep your mind empty and work on maintaining the beginner's mind, it is here that you'll find the real gold in your Zen practice. It's interesting that we spend our lives trying to be experts rather than beginners, but in Zen practice, we need to do just the opposite. The next big thought, sitting, the right posture. Quote, how to sit is how to act, end quote. Keeping the right posture, which Suzuki describes in detail in the book, is fundamental to the practice. He says, quote, if you slump, you will lose yourself. Your mind will be wandering about somewhere else. You will not be in your body. This is not the way. We must exist right here, right now. This is the key point. End quote. So the practice of sitting with the right posture is an important part of the practice. Suzuki covers aspects of this right posture, such as sitting with your spine very straight, crossing your legs, and placing your hands in a way that they form an oval shape, or what is called a cosmic mudra. You can get the full details in Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind for the correct posture and, of course, also the right breathing technique. And when you're sitting, you're cautioned not to chase enlightenment. We'll talk about this more in a minute, but simply to sit straight up with the right posture. Be here right now in the present moment. Quote, the state of mind that exists when you sit in the right posture is itself enlightenment. End quote. In other words, if your mind is all over the place, wobbling or wandering about, whether you're chasing enlightenment or simply worrying about something that happened or will happen, then you are missing this moment. In today's world full of distractions and frenzied activity, learning to stop the wobbling and wandering seems like an incredible skill to develop, doesn't it? Imagine if we were all able to control the wobbling and wandering and instead could be very present and focused. What a fantastic world that would be. The next big thought, big mind, small mind, mind waves. Quote, nothing outside yourself can cause any trouble. You yourself make the waves in your mind. If you leave your mind as it is, it will become calm. This mind is called big mind. If your mind is related to something outside itself, that mind is a small mind, a limited mind. End quote. Some helpful advice for developing your Zen practice is to consider your thoughts to be like waves. The waves come and they go. Just as you can't hold on to a wave or capture it, you shouldn't try to hold on to your thoughts. Quote, if something comes into your mind, let it come in and let it go out. End quote. If you hold on to your thoughts, perhaps becoming agitated by them or even ruminating about something, this is an example of a small mind or limited mind because your mind is focused on something outside itself. When you have a big mind, on the other hand, you're approaching your experiences with a pure, fresh, clear mind, unburdened with the past or the future. In this way, you can enjoy life as it occurs. In fact, Suzuki even goes as far as saying that in this state, there's not even a fear of death. You're simply accepting each experience just exactly as it is. Now, it might take some time before we can reach the level in our practice that we can approach death completely without fear. But what if we just take a few baby steps with this big mind idea and work on not being so agitated by the dog that chewed up your favorite socks or the child who refuses to eat anything except peanut butter? Let's start with accepting those experiences with a bit of calmness and perhaps even humor, and then let's see what bigger waves we need to ride. Finding our big mind may take some practice, but how nice will it be when you can let those waves just come and go without being quite so agitated by them? The next big thought: accept that everything changes. Good and bad are two sides of the same coin. Quote, without accepting the fact that everything changes, we cannot find perfect composure. But unfortunately, although it is true, it is difficult for us to accept it. Because we cannot accept the truth of transiency, we suffer. So the cause of suffering is our non-acceptance of this truth. End quote. One key teaching of Buddhism is that change is inevitable. Everything is transient. Change is always a part of our lives. But as noted in the above quote, we have a hard time accepting change. We struggle against it, and we often seem to be grasping to try and hold on to something that we just can't manage to let go of. We can't hold on to it, and so we suffer. Maybe it's the relationship that ended, but we can't seem to mentally let that go and move on. Or the kids have grown up and they want to move to the other side of the country to go to college, but we just want them to stay close to home. We're grasping and holding on to those situations that are now in the past. Or maybe it's something about ourselves that we're trying to hold on to. We used to be so free and unencumbered when we were younger, and now life is just so full of responsibilities and commitments. We're grasping and trying to hold on to some way of being that just isn't there anymore. Life has changed. Suzuki suggests that we should find perfection in imperfection, and that good and bad are two sides of the same coin. We can't escape challenges, and we can't escape change. They're just part of life. And he reminds us, quote, we should find the truth in this world through our difficulties, through our suffering, end quote. There's something inherently good in the challenges and in the things that seem to be bad. If you look closely enough, you'll see that good and bad are completely linked. So accept that everything changes, and remember that what is most important is that which is in front of us right now, in this moment, because soon that will change as well. The next big thought, it's about the effort, not the enlightenment. Quote, in our everyday life, we are usually trying to do something, trying to change something into something else, or trying to attain something. Just this trying is already an expression of our true nature. The meaning lies in the effort itself. End quote. If you think that Zen practice is about achieving enlightenment, you're completely missing the point. One important aspect of Zen is simply to be present with where you are right now, not to be striving or trying to get somewhere or achieve some kind of super state. Rather, simply be right where you are, noticing your breath coming in and going out, accepting reality and being present with it just as it is. But life today seems to be about more, more, and more. We're rushing to get there so that we can rush to get somewhere else. We're doing this so that we can then do that. We're achieving this so we can finally achieve that. The problem is that in all of this mad rush to get somewhere, we forget to be here. When here is actually the only place we can ever really be. Suzuki emphasizes that it's the practice itself, the effort, that matters, not the result. In speaking about Zen meditation, or Zazen, he emphasizes, quote, "When you practice Zazen, just practice Zazen. If enlightenment comes, it just comes. We should not attach to the attainment," end quote. So in our crazy, hectic world, full of constant striving for the next thing and the next, it seems to be an enormously good idea from time to time to still the mind and simply be. The final big thought, non-attachment, be ready and mindful. Quote, "When you study Buddhism, you should have a general house cleaning of your mind. You must take everything out of your room and clean it thoroughly. If it is necessary, you may bring everything back in again. But if they are not necessary, there is no need to keep them." End quote. The concept of non-attachment is also a fundamental part of Zen. Suzuki points out that it's important to forget about your preconceived ideas in order to understand Buddhism. Rather than being attached to ideas or thoughts on how you should be or how something should be, just practice the non-attachment. In fact, Suzuki explains, quote, "Wisdom is not something to learn. Wisdom is something that will come out of your mindfulness," end quote. There is something profound and enticing in this idea of non-attachment, isn't there? Wouldn't life be so much easier if we could just learn to let go sometimes? But when it comes to practicing non-attachment with your preconceived ideas, this becomes quite challenging and therefore very rewarding as you practice it. Yet we're so busy digging our heels in the ground with how we think things ought to be that we have a hard time seeing beyond that self-created fog. Let's do a little house cleaning of the mind, shall we? It'll be quite curious to see what will emerge when we make room for something new to come in. There's so much more to uncover in Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind, so be sure to get a copy of this thought-provoking and wonderfully nuanced book. As Shunryu Suzuki was so instrumental in helping to establish Zen Buddhism here in the U.S., his teachings are not only a pleasure to learn from, but also part of his important legacy. We hope you found this life note so interesting and insightful. Thank you so much for listening in. We look forward to sharing more wisdom with you again soon. And until next time, here's to moving one book closer to living 12 Category Smooth.